Welcome to everyone. As you've gathered here this afternoon, thank you for coming that we can commemorate, rejoice, and give thanks for the life of our dear sister, Evelyn Hoogsteen. She was a treasure to each and every one of us who knew her, and we are thankful for the time that we have had to know her and to enjoy life with her. Our thoughts and prayers especially go to Evelyn's children and also to her husband, Bill. We are thankful for the strength the Lord has given to you, brother, during this time. And it's a joy when I reflect back upon how Bill and Evelyn met and how the Lord in His providence brought you two together at Jasper Place and the situation that allowed you two to get to know one another and to be married in the Lord and to enjoy those years together. It's a true joy, and we're thankful for that, and pray that the Lord continue to bless you and your family and Evelyn's family during this time, that the Lord may comfort and strengthen you all. Well, this part of the service, I would like to read from the obituary for our sister Evelyn. Evelyn Hoogsteen, maiden name Thayer, went to meet her Lord at the age of 93 on May 3rd with her family by her side. Mom leaves to mourn her passing, her husband Weba or Bill Hoogsteen, her children Joe and Barb Hickerson of Thunder Bay, Noella Strain of Kuwaitin, Ontario, Jack and Sue Hickerson of Brantford, Ontario, Raymond Hickerson of Thunder Bay, Valerie Witter of Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, and Jolene and Doug Brown of Thunder Bay, daughter-in-law Kelly Hickerson, Vernon, B.C., as well as Bill's children, Robert and Marina Hoogsteen, Peter and Elaine Hoogsteen, Jean Costanzo, Barb and Rick Marguerite, Archie and Kareen Hoogsteen, Sonia Vandervecht, Kenneth Hoogsteen, and Gary and Sharon Hoogsteen, sister Melody and Bruce Wickstrom of Fort Frances, and numerous grandchildren, great-grandchildren, nieces and nephews. Mom was predeceased by husbands Melvin Hickerson and Ross Webb, son Patrick Hickerson, stepson Brian Webb, and son-in-laws Craig Strain and Wendell Witter. Mom had a lifelong love and appreciation of learning, nature, and the world around her, which she expressed joyfully through many artistic media, travel, camping, and literature. Her life was filled with love of family, friends, and her strong faith. Amen. Well, dearly beloved, we are indeed gathered here today to remember our beloved and dear sister in the faith, Evelyn Hoogsteen. She was a loving mother, a loving mother-in-law, a cherished grandmother and great-grandmother, a wonderful aunt, a good friend, and above all, she was a godly Christian woman. A woman who led by example in her life, living a life of faith towards God and living out her faith in love toward her neighbors. Indeed, her presence among us will be sadly and greatly missed, and yet we're thankful that even though she has left this life, she is with her risen Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. So to you, our brother Bill, we extend our heartfelt sympathies to you and to your family during this time, and that our Lord may comfort you with only the comfort that He can give through His Word and Holy Spirit. We know that you are a man of faith and that you trust in God and His care for your life. And we are thankful, too, that you are surrounded by many loving family who care for you, support you, and will continue to be with you each and every day, not only during this difficult time, but for the future also. And to you, Evelyn's children and stepchildren, we pray for God's comfort and strength for today and as time goes by, and as you come to grips with your loss. For even though we know our dear sister went to be with the Lord in May, that kind of pain still lingers and is often brought to the fore even more during ceremonies such as these, when all the memories come flooding back, all the joyful times and all the hardships and struggles as well. Our sister Evelyn was a true treasure in so many ways, and her trust in the Lord was inspiring and encouraging even when she was sick and having difficulties breathing and not knowing what the Lord had in store for her for the future. Your mother and stepmother lived with her trust in the Lord Jesus, and she is now with Him. Her faith has become sight, and she shares in that glorious throng that praises the Lord both night and day. And so we would pray that you would be comforted knowing that she has gone to her reward and is free from all of the earthly trials of this life. May it be that you find also too in your heart that truth that Evelyn knew, that whether in life or in death, by faith we belong to Jesus Christ, a loving and gracious Savior. And thus in Him we have nothing to fear, not even death, but the reality of knowing that at our death we go to be with Him in heaven. And to you grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and extended family, may you also know the comfort that only the Lord can give. A comfort in knowing that in this life, through faith in Jesus Christ, we belong to God, and that we are His, and that He is ours, and that He is our strength and our help, especially in the difficult and trying times of life. One precious scripture passage that I think speaks so well to ceremonies such as these is John 11:25-26. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." May such glorious truths be to our comfort, to our strength and encouragement today, tomorrow, and forever. Glory be to God. Amen. Well, dear family and friends, at this time, let us sing together number 496 in our Psalter hymnals and our red hymnals, "My Jesus, I Love Thee." And we will stand together to sing. this time, we would like to invite Joe Hickerson to come forward with words from Remembering Mom. And after Joe speaks, we will open the mic to those who may want to come forward also with words of remembrance with regards to our sister Evelyn.
Grandmother and great-grandmother to all of her families, as well as being Bill's wife and caring companion. She loved nature, enjoyed traveling, was a very good artist. Mom always was sure of her destination, and we are sure she's exactly where she expected to be. Thanks again for attending. I'm just short and sweet.
Evelyn, 93 years, wow. 93 years of living her life to the best of her abilities. 93 years of loving and serving her family. And since I've known her, loving my father-in-law, Weeb, and a true example of loving her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I first met Evelyn when Dad shared he was enjoying the company of a new lady friend. They had volunteered at a Remembrance Day service and gotten to know each other. Their relationship grew to a life commitment to each other, no longer two lonely persons on their own. What a special time the Lord blessed them to be with together. Evelyn was a very competent woman. She was comfortable using technology. Her cell phone and iPad were always handy. I admired her impeccable appearance, and she was always so bright and stylish. She was committed to the same beliefs and values as my father-in-law. She was a caring and loving woman who was very inclusive of all our family. If we were visiting, she would greet us with a warm hug and a pot of soup. She loved to serve and make sure everyone was well taken care of. While enjoying each other's company, she was sure to have a grandchild on her lap and playing a game on her iPad with them. Evelyn was a strong advocate for Dad and herself. For any issues, she would speak up and have it resolved. Any health concerns, she was not afraid to have doctors or specialists investigate until a solution was found. We all need an Evelyn in our corner. Evelyn was a talented artist. She created beautiful watercoloring paintings and other artwork, which our family had the pleasure of enjoying during our visits. I will always be in awe of her talents, and there is some out in the lobby to see. I will now borrow words from Melody McSemchuk of Grace Place, where Evelyn was a longtime volunteer. Even at 93, Evelyn was a true example of faith and strength to everyone who knew her. We are all blessed by knowing her and her love to us. Evelyn, you will be missed. We know you are enjoying paradise with your Lord and Savior. My condolences to Evelyn's family, her kids, her sister. May you celebrate her life as you reminisce together all the good times. May the Lord continue to be near to you. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to speak?
I can echo the words that have already been expressed. And Evelyn was a very easy person to get to know, and especially to love. She helped bring out in me a gift that I didn't know I had. She helped me learn to create greeting cards, but it went deeper than that. In 2014, I was diagnosed with cancer, and as you know, I opted for chemotherapy, and as some of you may not be aware, chemotherapy destroys not only the cancer, but also healthy tissue, including muscle. And so it left me very weak, and including the muscles of my hands and fingers. But her teaching me how to create greeting cards, it is helping me to recover the dexterity and strength in my hands and fingers. And it went on from there. I am learning since 2018, the month of July, to create other art. A gift that, well, I always wanted to do, but I wasn't really sure if I had it. I do. And this means a lot to me, that I express myself in this gift. So, in summing up, Evelyn, you were a real person to get to know, and I just say farewell to a real Gail. Thank you very much.
Hi, my husband is the grandson, and Evelyn became like a grandmother to me because both my grandmothers have been dead for a while now, and she kind of took on that role, and I'm very thankful for that because she gave me a different perspective than what my grandmothers were for me. We've done a lot together. We drove to Hamilton together for her to see her family and for me to see mine. And it was quite a thrill to see Evelyn drive into Toronto herself at 140 clicks. That got me gripping the... But we didn't realize those lanes were coming so quickly. I would have taken over, but oh no, she's quite... Someone said competent. She's extremely competent. But she taught me how to can. She did canning with me. My daughter graduated from art, so she shared art supplies, and we had those conversations about art. She's always... pulled my sons in as her grandkids, and she's always appreciated their little bit of help and hugs from them. And she's just, my heart's beating because she's very much a grandmother of love and acceptance and a positive role model for aging. I think, like, she, when I look at her, I've often said to my husband, I want to be like her, because someone said she's very good at the phone, like technology. I'm not. So I often looked at her and thought, if she can do it, then I can do it. But no, she's a lot more competent than I am in many ways. But like I said, she's a role model, and I do want to be a lot like her as I move into my aging years. And you know what I have to share? That she has an appetite, and she likes her chocolate. And so if she can eat like she did, then I know we don't have to change too much about our lives to age well. She didn't smoke, I don't smoke. She didn't drink much, I don't drink. So I think I've got it good. She, like I said, very good role model. Blessed to have her in my life. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else who'd like to share? Otherwise, at this time, I would like to invite Peter Kamek to come forward to read for us from Romans chapter 8.
Good afternoon. Is it on? Yeah. We're reading from Romans 8, not the whole chapter, but parts of it. We'll start reading at verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the sin, from the law of the sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful men in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. We'll pick up again on verse 35. Who shall then separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all the day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now we'll sing hymn number 431.
At this time, let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our strength and our help. You are the one who upholds us, who grants us what we stand in need of in all of life, especially, Father, when we mourn the loss of those we love. We thank you, though, that we know from Scripture that when you call us from this life as Christians, we enter into our reward, into a life of joy and service to you. And so, Father, we give you thanks and praise that our dear sister in the faith, Evelyn Hoogsteen, could be called home to you in glory. For we know, Father, that nothing in this world happens by chance, but comes to pass in your appointed time, according to the years that you have given to us to live. It's comforting to know, Father, that from our birth unto our death, all the days of our lives are known by you. The psalmist says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That in this life we become to know you through Jesus Christ, the only Savior, so that we too, when we leave this life, may have that comfort and joy of knowing that we will be with you in paradise. And so, Father, in light of that precious truth, we come before you as those who mourn and who grieve. Your word says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we thank you, Father, for that wonderful promise in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you come alongside of us with your word and spirit to help us and to uphold us when we're weak and when we're sorrowful. We pray that the truth of Jesus' resurrection and the reality of our own resurrection at his return would be a daily comfort to us all. For not only will all believers share in that great day, but especially will our dear sister who has left this life for the next. For though her body was weak and frail in this life, it will be made new and raised glorious to serve you in the new heavens and new earth. And that thought, Heavenly Father, in the midst of this time is truly joyful and comforting. And so, Father, as we come before your throne, we would pray for the family. We would pray that you would indeed give them what they stand in need of in the midst of their loss, in the midst of their heartache. We especially pray for Evelyn's husband, Bill, that you would comfort and strengthen him, that he too may know your nearness, that he may know your strength. Especially, Father, in those quiet times, in those lonely times when he will miss Evelyn the most. We pray that you would be near to him and that, Father, that you would continue to surround him with those who love him. We thank you for his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We thank you for Evelyn's family as well. And pray that they would all be a continued means to not only encourage one another, but to be a support to our brother Bill during this time. And we would pray, Father, for Evelyn's children, that you would be near to each and every one, that you would be near to their spouses and also to their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We pray for Bill's family also, that they too may know your care and your love and your nearness. We pray that they may know strength, that they may know your grace, that they may know your comfort. For, Father, we know that the death is not a natural thing. Scripture reminds us that death is the result of sin. And yet that even though we die as believers, it's not to punish our sin, but an entrance into eternal life. A time in which we put away our sinning once and for all by your grace and your sovereign work in our lives. And we pray that that wonderful truth found in Jesus Christ would be a comfort to everyone of the family, young and old alike. We know, Father, that sometimes for grandchildren or great-grandchildren, it's especially difficult to understand death. And yet, Father, we pray that as time goes by, that wonderful truth of your word and the wonderful example of Evelyn's life would be a means to continue to point them to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. That, Father, that we might take comfort in him and know that whether in life or in death, we belong to you. We would pray, Heavenly Father, too, for those who may not know that same comfort in Jesus Christ. We pray that you would show them your glory and might through the Savior, that they too would have a peace that passes all understanding, a joy inexpressible, and that, Father, that they would not have fear, regardless of any of the physical, emotional or difficult trials that come upon us in this life and maybe often make us feel distant from you or as if there is no hope. We pray that through the good news of Jesus Christ, you would reveal yourself in a mighty way, that people might be touched in their hearts to know, Father, that you are a God of love and grace, a God of forgiveness, a God who blesses us richly and eternally through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, Father, we lift up our voices in prayer and we ask that you would indeed grant us what we stand in need of for the glory of your name, for the comfort of our souls. And Father, as a constant witness to the world that Jesus is Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we will invite Ken and Gary and Corey to come forward, and they will be singing, "The Lord is My Shepherd."
Shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore.
Thank you, gentlemen. Very beautiful. Well, dear family and friends, we heard earlier from Romans chapter 8, that beautiful chapter of the Apostle Paul. And if there was ever a chapter of encouragement someone could read in any time of life, it would be Romans chapter 8. And I hope to share a few things with you this afternoon on this chapter is a means of encouragement, a means of comfort and strength that we find in our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we'll be focusing on the first four verses, verses 35 to 39. Your family, Brother Bill, God's word is a beautiful thing, especially as we heard from Psalm 23 in song. It reminds us so wonderfully of the blessings that we have in the Lord, of His faithfulness and goodness. And this chapter also reminds us of that. It reminds us that we belong to a great and glorious God who loves us and who cares for us, regardless of the circumstances that often come upon us in the Christian life. In fact, Paul says in verse 28 that God actually turns those negative things or difficult trials to our profit. And we so often see that in our lives. They make us stronger. They fill us with hope. They bring to us encouragement when we feel discouraged. And our dear sister Evelyn was such a woman of faith who found great comfort in God's word. It was reflected in her life, reflected in her words and in her deeds. She had joy. She had such a joy in her heart. She had peace. She had the assurance of God's presence, even though oftentimes in her life there were many difficulties, especially with her health, that for any of us would be very frustrating. But as we heard earlier from Corrine, as you know, Evelyn is a real go-getter. And if something got under her skin or bothered her, she just wasn't one to sit around and sulk about it. She got after it to make things right or to bring about change. And really, when you think about it, those are the kind of qualities we admire in other people. Their character, it's a sign of their character. It's a sign of the beliefs and convictions that they have in their heart and that they live by them. And I'm thankful for Evelyn's character, as been attested to here by so many, and by her convictions, especially when it came to her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our text today here in Romans 8 speaks of the great convictions we as Christians have in life, and especially in the time of death. Because no matter what may befall us, no matter what struggles or hardships or adversities may come our way, we may always know that in Jesus Christ we are more than conquerors. And that's what the Apostle Paul teaches us here in so many ways, and that's what we want to focus on in our meditation, that we are more than conquerors. Notice again what Paul says there in Romans 8, verse 1. It's a wonderful confession with regards to our faith as Christians. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you no longer stand condemned before a holy God because of your sins. In Jesus Christ, you're pardoned. The God who sits on the throne of heaven has declared you not guilty and freed you of any charge or accusation on the ledger of your life. And it's such a beautiful truth. Paul tells us also in Romans 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so when we see God's grace in light of the reality of our sins, which are enough to condemn us before God, we are humbled and stand in awe of God's grace. And Paul talks about that grace there in verse 3. He says, for what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man. You see, we as sinners by nature could never make ourselves right with God. And also, we certainly couldn't keep God's Ten Commandments perfectly. And so what God did is He chose to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to be our substitute, to live our life and to die our death, so that our sins would be pardoned and that we have a true relationship with God. As Paul says there in verse 4, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, that is, that we might meet those righteous requirements of perfect love and obedience. So that when God looks at us, He doesn't see us in our sins, but He sees us in that righteousness of Jesus Christ, as if it were our own. That's what Jesus did for us and why Paul is so joyful here at the beginning of this chapter, because for the believer, there is no condemnation, no condemnation for you in this life or in the next because of Christ. And what a joyful, wonderful truth, the truth brought back by the Reformation and the teaching and preaching of men like Martin Luther and many of the other reformers. But as comforting as the beginning of this chapter is, so is its conclusion, especially verses 28 to 39. And really what the apostle seeks to do here is to provide assurance to us that nothing in life can separate us from God's love for us in Jesus Christ. Think about that. Nothing in heaven, nothing on earth, nothing in your life, no circumstance that may come upon you, no tragedy in your family or related health issue or something that may happen with your business. Nothing. Nothing in all of life. As the heading in this NIV Bible has here, it has the heading of more than conquerors. More than conquerors. And really, what a beautiful summary of this entire chapter. We are more than conquerors. And that's something to ponder. I don't know if you ever thought about that phraseology, being more than a conqueror. How can you be more than a conqueror? If you're a conqueror, you're somebody who has conquered and you're victorious. Is it even possible to be more than a conqueror? Well, one commentator on this passage says this, and I thought was a very poignant comment. He says, a conqueror is a person who defeats the enemy. One who is more than a conqueror causes the enemy to become a helper to him. He causes the enemy to become a helper. In other words, Jesus Christ is the one who gives us the victory. We have victory over sin and death. Therefore, in this life, there is nothing to fear. There is no enemy, there is no situation or trial that can separate us from the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, nor diminish our hope. And yet there's still more, Paul says. For not only can these enemies not defeat us because of Christ, even the worst they can do can be turned to our spiritual good or advantage. For we're not just conquerors in Jesus, we are more than conquerors. And Paul brings that out so powerfully there in verse 28. We alluded to it before, but it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And that truth, that wonderful promise is the cornerstone of the Christian life. And with such an encouragement to our hope that in all things God works for good. And to drive that home, Paul in verses 31 to 35 asks some rhetorical questions. He asks in light of that truth, well, who then can bring any charge against those God has chosen? Or who is he that condemns? Or who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Question after question, and all with the same answer. No one. No one shall separate us. In fact, notice again verse 37, such a beautiful confession. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Isn't that beautiful? Again, we're brought back to Jesus Christ and his once for all sacrifice on the cross. It was the love of Jesus that sent him to the cross. And he willfully went and he purposefully went in order to secure our redemption. And to provide hope for all of those who trust in him. And dear family of Brother Bill, I'm sure you know, and I don't have to tell you this, but Evelyn was more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. For even though her health declined and her physical trials increased, spiritually the Lord provided for her, didn't he? Spiritually, he was able to bear her up and help her to endure. The Lord provided for her, and he provided for you too through that time. Through many weeks, difficult times when things looked so uncertain and so unsure. God used Evelyn's trials to draw you closer together, to show you that he loved you and cared for you and would be there for you. and to provide also as a witness for your family, an encouragement to your family, to your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, that even though we go through difficult times or physical hardships or illness, there is always one that we can turn to, our Lord in heaven. He's the one we can come to in prayer, the one we can call upon at any time, dear friends, with our concerns, with our fears, with our doubts, and know that He'll be there for us and to uphold us. The Lord God never leaves us at such times, but as Moses declared in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, He upholds us with His everlasting arms. And that's a mighty foundation to fix your faith upon. And so, beloved, it's my prayer that this comfort that Evelyn knew in her life will be a comfort that you all live by and have today. For as a believer in Jesus Christ, though life can be full of pitfalls and bumpy roads and unexpected trials, we are convinced beyond any doubt that nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Notice again what Paul says there in that section, verses 37 to 39. It's really incredible. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced, Paul says, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Dear friends, what do you cling to as your comfort in life? Paul gives us a good basis for why we should cling to Jesus. What do you cling to? Some people find great security in their wisdom, the ability to get along in life regardless of the circumstances, to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, if you will. And some people are pretty good at it. Others find their comfort in humanity, that mankind can make a better future for himself, solving all of his problems, poverty and sickness and conflict between the nations, having a heaven on earth, if you will. Some find comfort in the fact that there is a God out there, little g, rather than capital G, that He's in control, but unfortunately He's either unknowable or we can find Him through any other kind of religion because all paths lead to heaven, some say. And then others find their comfort in knowing that when you die, you just go out of existence. You leave this torn and tattered world behind and you go into a state of nothingness. Me personally, I don't find that very comforting, but some people do. And yet really, when you analyze this in comparison to the reality of eternity, all of these comforts are fleeting and failing. For as the Bible reminds us, there is one true comfort, one true hope, one true Redeemer that comes to the needy soul and fills it with what it needs, and that is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. As Paul said back in verse 4, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful man, that is, in our own humanity, just like us, except for sin. And He sent Him to be a sin offering. Those are specific words. It means that He sent Him to be our substitute, to die on the cross, the death that we were to die, in order that as our sacrificial lamb, He would pay for all of our sins. And when we study Scripture, we realize that's a lot of sin. That's an eternity of sin. But Jesus bore it all. Scripture tells us that He paid the price to the full in order to set us free. Therefore, the good news of the gospel is that all who embrace Jesus as their Lord and Savior share in that hope. They share in that joy. They share in that comfort. Because when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord, God takes Jesus' work and He applies it to our account. God calls us not guilty and embraces us as His own, as adopted children and heirs. As Paul says at the beginning of this chapter, for there is now, therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. What a glorious truth, what a glorious comfort. And it was a comfort that our dear Evelyn had in her life. And such a comfort that comes to the human heart is a true treasure and a gift unlike any other. And because of that gift, she in her sickness and even in her time of death had nothing to fear. Think about that. Nothing to fear. For she was more than a conqueror And God turned her sickness and turned her death to her profit by ushering her into glory and into His wonderful presence. To be there, think about it, to be there in His presence apart from any sickness, any pain, any disease, in order to serve and worship the God who redeemed her in grace. What a joy and what a wonderful comfort that comes to us through the gospel of Christ. And so, dear family, as you mourn today, and as you feel the aching pain of loss, of not seeing grandma or great-grandma, or not being able to talk to your mom, or to a wonderful mother-in-law, or to your dear wife, rejoicing knowing that Evelyn's death is not the end, but the only a glorious beginning of life in eternity. Think about that, 93 years. And I know Evelyn's birthday on the 29th, 94 years. Think about it, 93 years. 93 years is a long time to live on this earth. But in comparison to eternity, it's but a speck. It's a little blip of time on the radar of life. And thus hers now is an eternal life, a life that will never end, a life that will never become dull, a life that is always full of joy. May that wonderful truth of the reality of our sister's joy be a comfort to you all today. And may you, our brother Bill, take comfort and be of good cheer and do not lose heart. We don't always know why certain things happen. You've been blessed to have two dear women in your life who were a blessing to you and who you were a blessing to as well. And we know that your family will continue to be a comfort and a strength to you as time goes by. The Lord does bring healing to our wounds and our pain because He points us continually to Jesus and reminds us of that time, of that glorious reunion that is to come with those who have gone on before us. And so we pray that above all, the Lord may comfort you and give you strength. You are in our prayers and in our hearts as well. And may all of you, dear family and friends, find that comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is the resurrection and the life. This life is indeed filled with trials and frustrations and uncertainties. But as the Apostle Paul says, when your life is rooted in Jesus Christ, you can be assured that God is with you, He is your strength, and that there is no condemnation, but only the joy of glorification at the time when Jesus comes back from heaven. May God bless us and strengthen us and comfort us today and every day. Amen and amen. Well, let us turn to our song, our next song, How Great Thou Art, number 227. This was Evelyn's favorite song, and a precious song indeed to remind us of the blessings that we have through our gracious God in Jesus Christ. And we'll stand together to sing number 227. a closing prayer to our service, let us recite the Lord's Prayer together, which is found on the back of the bulletin. And we say together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And for our closing song, our doxology, let us turn to our inserts in our bulletins, where we'll be singing, God be with you till we meet again.
Thank you.
That concludes our service of remembrance and thanksgiving. Thank you also very much for coming. May the Lord continue to strengthen you and bless you and give you his comfort. Amen.